Okay, there we go. Well, this morning, I want to spend one more time with you on forgiveness. We've spent a little bit of time on that, so forgive me for overdoing it. Just giving you some time to practice what we've learned here. However, there's a distinction that I want to draw between what we've looked at so far and what we're doing today. And then next week, what I want to do is talk about corporate prayer. When we come together, which we love to do, and then when we pray, what happens? That's what I'll look at next week, and how we can prepare for that. But today, I want to tie up a few loose ends with forgiveness. Well, maybe they're not so loose, but I want to underline them. I want to remind you of a story I may have told you a few years back. When we were living in Arizona, I was working out at a gym there. Great gym, nice place, and they had several franchises. All of them were usually full, well done business. And in this particular franchise that I was going to, there were several people who were bodybuilders. And some of them, that was their living. They had sponsors and they made money doing that. And there were other people who were not bodybuilders, but they were still really big. I mean, they learned from the bodybuilders. They were just these huge, massive, muscular people. And the difference between, by the way, a bodybuilder and someone who was massive but not a bodybuilder, this is for free, by the way, it's not that anything to do with the sermon, is that you could tell the people who were not bodybuilders didn't pay any attention to their diet. That's how you could tell the difference. The bodybuilders had to do that because that was an important part of the competition they were in. Nonetheless, there we are. So this one guy who was not a bodybuilder, but one of the biggest guys in the gym. And remember, this is a big gym, lots of members. He comes in one day and he looks across the gym at me. And I'm on the other side of the gym. And he says, "I want to talk to you." Okay, we can do that. So we kind of step aside into a private place. And he was having some trouble at home and didn't know what to do and all that, and arguments and that sort of thing, as you could imagine. And so I told him two things. Thank God he accepted them. So I told him two things. And I said, "Well, okay, all right, so your spouse is mean to you." And I knew he was a church-going Christian. And I said, "Do you want to repay evil for evil?" So I thought about that. So here's my second question. What kind of man do you want to be? Do you want to be one who repays evil for evil? Or do you want to be able to get around that and go past it? And so he took that in. Things didn't turn out all that well, but he took that in. And he did. He began to grow in Christ. And he and I hung out a little bit afterwards, after that, for a little while, here and there. You know, we go to bodybuilding competitions together. He would tell me what was going on. I didn't know. But that was great. But he took it in. This applies to what we think about forgiveness and how we think about it. And we've been seeing a few things about forgiveness over the past few weeks. And we've seen that knowing a few things about forgiveness can be very helpful. But I want to point out today that knowing a few things about forgiveness and being a forgiving person can be two different things. Things we know about forgiveness can even be in our toolbox, if you will, our spiritual toolbox. But we still not use them. Like I can own a hammer, but I might not be a carpenter. It comes down to what kind of person do you want to be? That's the challenge for us. Do we want to know about forgiveness, or do we want to be forgiving people as well? Do we want to be known as people who know things about forgiveness? Or do we want to actually be forgiving? Do we want to be known as people who are forgiving? And I think that's the bottom line for us this morning. So the question I think naturally comes up, at least I'm hoping you're thinking that, is how do you become a forgiving person? Especially when you know some things about forgiveness and how it might work. Well, let me just briefly review what we know from what we've looked at the past few weeks. One, we know that to forgive is to let go of the demand that the past would have been different. That what somebody did, we have this inner demand that never should have happened. And we just let go of that. It's another way of saying that is we release someone from our own personal judgment. You know, that person just never, ever should have even thought that. We release that. And we've also learned that to get the desire to do that, we get directly from the Spirit of God. It's not something that we can do on our own, especially as a lifestyle. And we've seen that we're also able to forgive because we have been forgiven. You know, we forgive as we have been forgiven. And we've also seen that when we forgive ourselves, we are even better able to extend forgiveness to other people. And that's a very good thing as well. To forgive someone, we've also seen, does not always mean that we will continue on with them the way that it was before. In other words, to be culturally appropriate for these current days, we're not getting back to normal with them. Maybe, but it's not all that likely. If somebody offends us, we can let go of the demand that never would have happened and release them from our personal judgment. But that might be it. You know, let's say we own a business and somebody embezzles money or steals property from our business. We can let go of the demand that never would have happened, release them from that personal judgment, but after they've been fired, we're probably not going to hire them back, are we? See, that's how it works. Now, maybe something would happen that works, but that's just not likely. But we've let go of our personal judgment. That's forgiveness. So we've seen all that. So we want those things in our toolbox. We want to have those available to us at a second's notice. And then on top of that, the challenge is, do we want to be a person who, like Jesus, is one who walks in forgiveness? That's our lifestyle. It's who we are. And so the verse that comes to mind is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I mean, there it is again. Forgive as we've been forgiven. The foundation which enables us to be like Jesus like that is to be in Jesus. That's what the verse says. That's how it reads. It's another one of those two-letter words that are easy to miss. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You can think of in Christ as your home address. That's where you live. And when you are in Christ, you begin getting the knowledge that you are forgiven and that you can walk in that way, that can be your lifestyle. Being one with Christ, being in Christ, is the key to living a Christian life. Now, I want you to remember this designation. I've shared it with you a few times, but it bears repeating. We can be a fan of Jesus, which means we go around quoting the Doobie Brothers, Jesus is just all right with me. We can be a friend of Jesus, which means if Jesus says something, we think that that's pretty good. Or we can be a follower of Jesus, which means if Jesus asks us to do something, we can think, yeah, okay, I'm going to try that. Or we can be a family member with Jesus. And a family member with Jesus is someone who takes on the likeness of Christ, takes on the lifestyle of Christ, takes on the things that Jesus did, takes on the rhythm of life of Jesus, wants to believe what Jesus believes, not only believe things about Jesus. Just everything about us becomes transformed into being like Jesus. That's what it is to be in the family of God. When we invite somebody to be in the family here, we're inviting them into that level of transformation. To be in Jesus' family is to be filled with the Spirit, His likeness, His ways, you know, just as we are with our natural families. You can usually tell a family likeness when you see it, or if you have a friend and you've never met the rest of their family and they show you the photographs, you know that that's their family. There's all kinds of ways of knowing that. Yeah, that's what we want with Jesus. We want, when people relate to us and see us and see the way we live, that it reminds them of Jesus, because that's the family that we're in. That's what it is to be in Christ. It's to cultivate that with the rhythms of your life, taking up what Jesus does. It means praying like Jesus prayed. Worshiping, because Jesus worshiped. Growing in fellowship with others, because that's what Jesus did. It means reaching out to others, because we see Jesus reaching out to others. If Jesus did it, then that's the way we want to be. We want to be just like Jesus. And when we're just like Jesus, we're forgiving people. So what I'm suggesting to you this morning is not that we make a list of how to be a forgiving person and then aspire to fulfill that list. What I'm suggesting is that we rest in Jesus and we receive from Jesus. We respond to Jesus. We settle in with Jesus. We take the things that Jesus wants to give us. Even if what He wants to give us is a deeper thirst for Him, so that we keep coming back for more from Him. That will make us more forgiving people, because we'll be becoming like Jesus. See, it all comes down to this. Everything, in every way, in every circumstance, in any manner that you can think of, no matter what it is always, all the time, all about Jesus. Put anything into your mind, and that is all about Jesus. And what Jesus wants to do is draw you closer and closer to Him by the Spirit of God, so that you see how it is all about Jesus. And you become transformed into that, so that you can walk in that way all the days of your life. Doing all those things is what transforms us to be like Him. And, you know, just to take it just a little deeper, listening to Jesus while we pray. I'm sure you do some of that. I do some of that. I do some of the other thing, too. I have a list. I say, oh, Jesus, what about these things? And but pray about that. But then there's also me listening to Jesus. That's what transforms me. That's what makes me able to do some of the things I do in following Jesus. It's also asking Jesus what He wants from us in worship. You know, when we come in to worship, saying, Jesus, here I am, I'm coming to worship with everybody else. What do You want from me today? That's the offertory. Doing that helps us know that we are in Christ, and that helps us be transformed to be like Christ. And one of the results of that is we become forgiving people more so than we were yesterday. And each day it increases. Looking for the presence of Jesus in other people in the church is another way to do that. You know, like when you come here on Sunday, you're thinking, Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing the other people here. And I really want to see You in them, how You're present in their life. Now, maybe you have to check with them about something. Maybe there's some business about the church you need to do, something like that. And that's good. That's fine. There's also email and telephones for that. But, you know, that's good. That's fine. But when we're together, seeing His presence in each other is what transforms us to become more like Him, which takes us down the road of becoming forgiving people. Now, you don't have to say it out loud, but hasn't there from time to time been somebody else in the church that maybe you needed to forgive? And one of the ways that that happens is you actually see Jesus in them. And if you didn't see Jesus in them, you could ask, Lord Jesus, this person who offended me, how can I see you in their life? That will transform us. That's another step of transformation. Helps a great deal too. Looking for Jesus like that all the time makes us a more forgiving person, which is more than a person who knows some things about forgiveness. See, what I'm encouraging you to do, me and you, all of us together, is to not only find things out about the Bible, find things out about the Christian faith, find things out, learn things, you know, get some studying in, see what we can figure out. That's great. But to encounter the living God is what it boils down to. Encountering the living God throws a lot of light on the Bible. It brings a lot of inspiration into worship. It brings a lot of richness into our relationships. It brings a lot of life into the way we see the world. It's always encountering the presence of God. Now, let me give you one more item. This is our last item on forgiveness. Unless I think of some more, but for today, this is it. The question sometimes comes up, shouldn't someone repent before I forgive them? I mean, shouldn't they be showing me they're sorry and they don't want to do that again? And then I can forgive them. Let me just kind of put it this way. No. No. Did Jesus forgive you that way? Did Jesus say, hey, I can forgive your sins after you show me how sorry you are for doing that and after you tell me you're not going to do it again? You have to promise. I've never heard of Jesus doing that. And what we're to do is to forgive as we have been forgiven. And what that means is we can let go of the demand that the past would have been different. We can let go of our personal judgment about someone before they do anything about changing. Because we are people who forgive. Because we are in Christ and we follow Jesus. Someone, you've probably discovered this, but let me underline it. Someone who is told to repent is probably not going to repent. Have you ever noticed that? And someone who is forgiven is much more likely to respond at some point with repentance, especially when they're with someone else who is a forgiver. That's us. That's one of our family traits that we can grow in every day. Well, I want to leave you with these two questions. They're my usual questions, but they have to do with this whole topic of forgiveness. What is God telling you this morning about being a forgiving person? And what step does God want you to take along those lines? You know, once you have that, one of the things that I think we can be sure of is this. It won't be your last step as a forgiving person. There's plenty of opportunity. Not only in our immediate relationships, but around our community, our neighborhood, our nation, the world, you name it. There's probably something to be forgiven there. And we are the forgivers. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that we would know how deeply we are in you, how much we are in your family, and we ask that the family traits, particularly of forgiveness, would be upon us today and all the days of our lives. And we ask this for the glory of your name. Amen.